Okay, this is the fourth in our series of quick shiurim on Maseches Tamid. We are on Chav Zayin Amud Aleph 27a. We're about 15 lines up from the bottom. My goal is to keep these recordings to about 10-15 minutes, although at the end I may concatenate all of them into one extended recording for some who may find that easier to work with. So the Mishnah at the beginning of the Masechta told us about the Kohanim who would sleep in the Beis HaMikdash overnight, that lo ha yishenim b'bigdei kodesh, they didn't sleep wearing the bigdei kahuna, ela yuposhtin u'manichanos n'tachas rasheyin, but they would remove them and put them under their heads. They would fold them up and put them under their heads, as the Bach has it. So our Gemara revisits that in terms of the issue of benefit from the clothing of the Kohanim. And the Gemara says, Shena hu delau abo hiloch mahalchim. You tell me not to sleep in them, but that means that you could walk around in them even though you're not doing the avodah, you're not serving in the Beis HaMikdash. Shamed minah big day kahuna nit lehanos bahen. Does that show that you're allowed to benefit from big day kahuna, from the special clothing? To which the Gemara says, no. Amri hu adin dafilu hiloch na. The truth of the matter is, you're not allowed to walk in big day kahuna either. You can't wear them at a time when you're not engaged in the avodah. When it says they didn't sleep in them, and seems to specify sleeping, that's only because mishum debayla misna seifa ela yiposhtin u'makapdun u'manichanos n'tachas rashay and k'sani reishanami lo hayishenim, because the Mishnah wanted to go on to say that they would remove the clothing and put them under their heads. Therefore, it began by saying they didn't sleep in them. But the truth of the matter is, it's not only sleep you're not allowed to engage in, you're also not allowed to wear them in general. There is discussion elsewhere about the fact that the Kohen wears it immediately when he's, immediately after doing the avoda. We don't expect him to be a malach and to simply remove the clothing immediately. But that's not discussed here in the Gemara. Instead, the Gemara asks, well, you've solved the problem of walking around in them, and the implication of saying sleep, and how saying that you shouldn't sleep in them doesn't mean that you're allowed to walk around in them. But then you talk about putting them under your head. Well, guvah kakashya, that in and of itself is problematic, six lines up from the bottom. Umanicha nos antachas rashay. They put them underneath their heads. That seems to indicate you're allowed to benefit from them. You're using them as a pillow. Ema neged rashayem, to which the Gemara says, no, it doesn't mean under their heads. It actually means beside their heads. It doesn't actually mean under their heads. Side note, if you remember the Midrashim regarding Yaakov and the stone that he puts under his head, next to his head, by Yosem Mirash Osav, there's a debate. It's not so clear in the sources as to whether the stone is under his head or around his head. If you take a look at Rashi in Bereishis Chav Ches Yud Aleph 28:11, he actually blends together two sources. One is the Gemara Chulin Sadi Aleph Amad Aleph, and the other is Medrash and Bereishis Rabbah Samach Ches Yud Aleph Ayin Sham. Amar of Papa. Rav Papa, though, follows up on this and he says, that's interesting, Shmaminah Tefillin and Hatzad Sharyah. That means that you could lie down and leave your tefillin beside your head, and we would not worry that you might roll onto the tefillin. If you're allowed to do this with the Big Day Kahuna, and we're not concerned that you're going to end up using them as a pillow by accident, then ostensibly you'd be allowed to leave the tefillin beside your head and not worry that you might roll onto them, and that would be disrespectful to the tefillin. Hachanami Mistaba de Kineged Rashayhan. And the Gemara then, done with the tefillin, goes back to the main point and says it makes sense to say that they're putting them beside their head, not under their head. De'yam retachas rasheyen, if it's really under their head, we have a separate problem. Having nothing to do with Big Day Kahuna per se, our problem is that there was shatnes in some of the Big Day Kahuna, right? That's a discussion in its own way. Which garments, the avnate, the belt of the Kohen Gadol versus the avnate of the regular Kohen, but we are told that the belt may well have shatnes in it. Nehid nitnu lehenos bahen, even if you're allowed to benefit from Big Day Kahuna, they were given to you for your use, typically Mishum Isura de Kilayim. You should still not be allowed to do it because of the issue of Shatnes. You're sleeping on Shatnes. We're flipping the page on the Chazayin Amud Beis. If you're going to tell me that you'll take the view that the Kohen Gadol's belt is Shatnes, but the regular Kohen is not wearing Shatnes, then you're fine. Then there's no Shatnes in the Big Day Kahuna. But if you're going to tell me that the belt of the regular Kohen is of the same material as that of the Kohen Gadol, and it is indeed Shatnes, then what will you say? Now what would you do? And if you'll say, well, that's okay, because the prohibition with kilayim is wearing it, however, lying on top of it is okay, Vatanya, I have a brisa that says absolutely not. The Torah says, lo ya'ale alecha, that you, kilayim shall not ascend upon you, you're not allowed to wear it, avala tamatzio tachtecha, but mide oraisa, biblically, from that pasuk, it sounds like you would be allowed to have it beneath you, aval amru chachamim, but the chachamim said, no, asur la, says gain, you're not allowed to do that, shemati charech nima achas al basaro, lest a thread end up curling over your flesh. So you're not allowed to sit on top of kilayim. That's the message here. And there are all sorts of stories involving kilayim in seats on trains and the like. V'chi teima demafsik midi. And if you'll tell me, well, maybe there was something in between the Big Day Kahuna and their heads. Maybe it wasn't immediately under their head. V'amar Rabbi Shimon, Amar Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Amar Rabbi Yossi ben Shol, Mishum Kahala Kadisha Shabirushalayim. Rabbi Shimon quotes Rabbi Shua ben Levi, who quotes Rabbi Yossi ben Shol, who quotes the sacred community in Yerushalayim. Afilu Ezer Matzal Zu Agav Zu V'kilayim Tachtayen Oser Lishan Alayim. That you're not allowed to sleep on shatnez, even with 10 layers in between you, the kilayim and you, the princess and the pea. You're not allowed to use the kilayim beneath your head, even if it's way beneath you. So, how do I solve this problem? Again, what are we saying here? You're telling me that the Kohanim have the Big Day Kahuna underneath their heads. We had a first problem saying, how could you have it beneath your head? You're not allowed to benefit from the Big Day Kahuna. So the easy answer is it's not beneath their head. It's actually beside their head. We then note that, again, if it's beneath your head, you have a second problem. Not only the issue of benefit from Big Day Kahuna, but you have a problem of having kilayim under your head. So the Gemara comes back to the same answer, Elishmamina, neged, or kineged rashayen. The answer is, it was beside their head. It wasn't beneath their head. But for the kilayim, we have two other answers. The Ibayis Ema, if you want, I'll give you a different answer. Ba'osin Shein Ba'in Kilayim. It's talking about the clothing that doesn't have Kilayim, even if the Avnate of the Kohen has Kilayim in it. The other garments do not. And therefore, he would have the other garments underneath his head. Rav Ashi Omar, Big Day Kahuna Kashin Hein. Rav Ashi gives me a third answer relevant for the laws of Shatnez. He says, the clothing of the Kohanim were made of a tough material, and therefore there is no fear that anything is going to warm you or that anything is going to crawl up over onto your skin, and therefore there is no such concern. Dam Ravuna Breid of Yeshua, as Ravuna Breid of Yeshua said, Ha Namta Gamda Dinarsh Sharia, he said, sitting on shatnez, which is of this material called Namta Gamda of Narsh, that is permitted. What is Namta Gamda that they had in Narsh? Narsh is a place. So the parish on the side of the page says Namta is felter and Gamda is kasha, something tough. Gamda, we know. Gamda is a word that indicates something that is tough. But what is this namta that he calls felter? So Rabbeinu Gershom uses the word levad for it. And levad is the term that we often use for felt. So potentially this is some kind of pressed material. But that's our third answer for how you could have the Big Day Kahuna under your head, right? Our first answer is it's not. It's beside your head. Our second answer is it's the one that doesn't have kilayim. And then our third answer is that the clothing is tough and therefore it was okay to have beneath one's head. You're not worried about anything curling onto your skin. And also, as the parish on the side knows, we're not concerned that it's going to warm you either. We are now in the middle of the page on Chav Zayin Amud Beis. Ira Kari Be'echad Behem. We jump over the words that are in the parentheses that actually does not belong here. If you read through the Gemara there, you'll see it's very clearly someone inserted this, lifting it from the Gemara in Yuma. Okay. The Mishnah then said that if a Kohen who was there overnight experienced Kari, any mission that will make him Tameis, then he would go down to the Mikvah via Mechilos, via tunnels. So Messiah, we gave a couple of explanations for when we read it in the Mishnah, but let's take tunnels. Messiah Leila Rabbi Yochanan. This supports the view of Rabbi Yochanan. Da'amar Mechilos Lo Nisgadshu. He says the tunnels were not consecrated. They did not become holy. The parish on the side notes that there are actually two different tunnels. There are tunnels which go beneath Harabayis, and then there are tunnels that go beneath the Azara, the Beis Hamikdash. The tunnels that are under the Beis Hamikdash, that enter into the Beis Hamikdash, those actually do have the Kedusha of the Beis Hamikdash. However, tunnels that only open into Harabayis, only open onto the Temple Mount, those do not have Kedusha at all. So therefore, he could walk through those tunnels. And he also, back in Rabbi Yochanan and the Gemara, Ubalkeri Mishtaleh Chutz L'Shnei Machanos. Balkeri, again, this person who had the mission, so he has to leave two Machanos, two camps. And that's talking about the fact that when the Jews were in the Midbar, when they camped in the wilderness, they had three Machanos. You had Machane Shechina, where the Mishkan is in the middle, the camp of Hashem, Machane Leviyah surrounding that, and then Machane Yisrael. And the third camp is the general camp of the Jews. So in terms of a Balkari, he would have to leave the first two. He could live in Machane Yisrael. He wasn't a Metzora who has to leave everywhere. So this is a separate point made by Rabbi Yochanan regarding a Balkari, that he would have to leave in the Midbar. He'd have to leave the camp of the Shekhinah as well as the camp of the Leviyim. Our Gemara now continues with the washroom that we described in the opening Mishnah, the Kisei Shel Kavod, where everybody had their privacy. And he gives us a story. Rav Safra HaVayasu Beis HaKisei. We're about halfway down the page on Chav Zayin Amud Beis. Rav Safra HaVayasu Beis HaKisei. Rav Safra was sitting in the washroom. Asa Rabbi Abba Nacharlei. And Rabbi Abba comes along and he grunts. Now, as read by the Perish on the side of the page here, there was no door to this washroom. If you look in the Marsha, he has alternate versions of this story, but I'm going to go with the one that's in the margin here in our Gemara. Rabbi Abba comes along and grunts, and the idea is that if there's somebody inside, then they'll grunt back, and he'll know I'm not supposed to go in. But instead, Amar Lele Omar, Rav Safra says to him, come in. So Basar Dinafik, once they're done in the washroom, Amar Lele Rabbi Abba says to him, Ad kan lo slikas l'seir, gamar mili de seir. He says, you haven't even gone to Seir. Why are you acting like a person from Seir? You've learned the behaviors of people from Seir, meaning you shouldn't have told me to come in. You should have grunted back. Lav ha'chitna. Don't we have a Mishnah that says, our Mishnah, Mitzo Na'ul Biyadua Shiyesh Shamadam, that if somebody found the door to the washroom locked, this area underneath the Beis HaMikdash, or underneath Harabayis, if you found the washroom locked, Biyadua Shiyesh Shamadam, you would know that there was somebody inside, L'meir Medelo Meboya L'Lemeil. That tells me you're not supposed to go in. I would not have entered, or L'Meizel, if you follow the Shita Mikubetzes. Rav Safra thought, you know what, I better tell him come in. Why? Dilma Masuka knew, because maybe he is dangerously ill. Not dangerously ill per se, but dangerously ill from needing to use the washroom. Maybe it will be dangerous for him to wait. Kitisanya, like the Brisa says, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Omer Hachozer, maybe it's Adam Lidei Hadroken, Silon Hachozer, maybe it's Adam Lidei Yerakon. That it could be potentially harmful for a person to hold it in. If they need to have a bowel movement and they don't, it could cause Hadroken. If they need to urinate and they don't, it could cause Yerakon. Whether this is talking about some form of infection or some form of rupture is entirely unclear to me, but it's bad potentially for a person to hold it in. He doesn't mention here the issue of Baltashaktsu in holding it in, but he does mention a medical concern. You're not supposed to hold it in, so therefore he said, come in. He didn't make Rabbi Abba wait outside. Amalei Rav L'chia Borei. Rav says to his son Rav L'chia, V'chein Amalei Rav Huna L'Rabba Borei. Rav Huna said it to his son Rabba Bar Rav Huna. Chashich takin nafshach v'kadim takin nafshach. In the evening you should use the washroom. In the morning you should use the washroom. Keichet lo sirchak. So that you will never be far from a washroom. Or tzidchak, so that you will not be pressed for a washroom. You should always make sure that you take care of this in advance. The parish on the side of the page notes this is not only an issue of health, but it's also an issue of tznius. I misread that. He's not. He's talking about the health issue. Okay. Further. Tov Ugli, sit down and uncover yourself, meaning sit down first and then uncover yourself, kasivakum, and then cover yourself again before you get up. This is an issue of tznius. This is an issue of how you comport yourself to make sure that everything is private. Shtof ushasi, shtof va'achis. And this is a different idea. This is regarding your cup when you drink, that you should rinse it out before you drink, and then you should also rinse it out after you drink, when you get up from drinking. You should always make sure that you wash out the cup before and that you also wash out the cup afterwards. And if you're drinking water, you should pour some of the water out before you give it to your student. Like the Brisa says, that you shouldn't drink water and then give the cup to your student to drink. You should first pour some out. What in the world are we talking about? So the parish on the side of the page explains that our concern here is not infection. I realize that that's on everybody's mind these days. But rather, the concern is that it's gross to drink someone else's saliva, and apparently even to drink your own saliva. So first of all, he says, if you're drinking wine, he wants you to wash out the cup before and after, and that way you will not end up drinking your own saliva. And second, he says, when you're drinking water, then you should rinse the cup by pouring out some of the water. If you pour it out, then you'll wash off the lip of the cup by doing so. He doesn't want you pouring out wine, because that's degrading to the wine. But with water, he feels okay with you just using, you know, pouring out the water in order to do it, and that way your student who's going to drink from this will feel comfortable drinking from it. And the Gemara continues about 10 lines up from the bottom. Somebody drank water, did not pour any out, but not some Talmid, when he gave it to his student. And that student was somebody of a very delicate mindset. He was a pampered person. He would not drink. He thought backwash is disgusting. And he died of thirst. I don't know how exactly he ends up dying of thirst from this. How long was the shear? How long was he sitting and learning in front of him? Nonetheless, that's where the Gemara presents it. And then they said, see, don't drink water and give it to your student. Unless you pour some out first. Rav Ashi says, if you note that on the bottom of the page is a little footnote dalet there, it says Omar Rav Ashi, because Rav Ashi is not disagreeing with what was said before. If you put the name before the verb, it sounds like this is a statement of disagreement. You said this, I say that. Omar Rav Ashi is just adding. Rav Ashi said, Hilkach hai talmida deshafach kamei rabei, lest be mishum afke rusa, since we want you to rinse out of the cup. Therefore, if a student pours out the liquid in front of his rabbi, that's not considered to be inappropriate behavior. That's not considered to be a sign of disrespect that he would do this in front of his rabbi. This is a healthy thing to do. And don't spit out food in front of your rabbi, except bar mikra v'daisa, except for kra, which is gourd, or daisa, which is a form of cereal. That's our edition of it. If you look at the bays in the Bach, he says mikra chaya. He says raw gourd. Dekepsila shel avar dami, because it is like lead. It burns the body, says the parish on the side. We'll pick up from here. Sorry, one note. We said that you should not spit out anything in front of your Rebbe other than the gourd and cereal. The parish on the side says it doesn't mean the actual food. It means the saliva that is in one's mouth, that comes up in one's mouth when eating those foods.